Welcome to Awaken Podcast. I hope you enjoy the teaching.
Good morning. Welcome. So glad you're here on this beautiful spring morning to come and to worship, to gather together, to do what we value and curate to do on a Sunday morning as we come together as a faith community. Just want to start our time off with a blessing. Actually, this is a welcome blessing that we share at our Discover Awaken classes. As people come, and we just like to shower this blessing, and thought it would just be thoughtful to read it to our whole community as we begin and come into worship this morning. So receive this blessing of welcome as we start our gathering. Upon your arrival to Awaken, we offer you this blessing of welcome. Come as you are. You are welcome here. Your story, where you come from, what you bring with you, all that you are, belongs here. Are you bringing brokenness, confusion, gratitude, wrestling, longing, passion, lament, hope? Come as you are. You are welcome here. May you be seen and heard. May you be refreshed. May you discover. May your curiosity be nurtured. May you belong in authentic community. May you bring forth good. May you be centered in Christ. As you receive this blessing, welcome our invitation to come and to partner with God in the renewal of all things. Come as you are. Come as you have been. Come as you are becoming. You are welcome here. Let's worship.
All right, friends, if you want to make your way back to your seats, good to see you all on this fine spring morning. Was it like 80 degrees yesterday? Goodness gracious, it's great, so good. My name is Micah. If we have not met, I'm one of the pastors here. So glad that you're with us. A couple things that we want to let you know about as we jump in this morning. One, if you're new, we'd love to know you're here, so the seat pockets in front of you are the pews. There's a card you can fill out. If you fill that out, somebody from our team will reach out, invite you to a beverage of your choice. Hopefully, we'll see you at Discover Awaken today. More about that in a minute. But if you fill those cards out or you have tithes or offerings this morning, they can go in the black boxes at each of the exits. There's lots of different ways you can give to Awaken, listed behind me there, including if you haven't downloaded our app. We got an app for Awaken, so we're moving into the 21st century. All the registrations, all the details, you know, you can sign up on there. It's very, very slick and simple, so highly recommend it. All the things I'm about to tell you about are there. So, one, Discover Awaken today. If you're new, that is for you. Invite you to lunch. You can hear more about the church right after this gathering. Number two, there is a partnership class. Oh, I'm sorry. Earth Day is coming up next. That's the 27th. Nope, 20th. Just read the notes, dude. Follow the teleprompter, bro. The 20th is we're hosting a pancake breakfast, so even if you can't help like clean up the neighborhood, we just have a lot of pancakes that we're going to be making. So come and have breakfast. It's free, and you can join us there. That's next Saturday. After that, on the 27th, is Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. So how many of you have been to a Guess Who's Coming to Dinner in the past before? A few of you? Okay, lots in the first hour. This is just you sign up, you get an address near your home, and then you meet some people at dinner. And it's just a great way to get to know people at Awaken. So if you're interested in that, you can sign up. There is a partnership class, the 28th of May. Gosh! 28th of April and the 5th of May. That is for folks who are interested in becoming what we call partners, other churches call members. You can join us for that. This has gotten off to a great start. And last but not least, there is an Urban Camino, which you've heard me talk about, May the 17th, 18th, and 19th. We will be walking from here to the Rondo neighborhood. We're hosted by Carl Walker, who started Walker West Music Academy, if you know that, in the neighborhood. Carl and his wife actually lost their home when I-94 went in the Rondo neighborhood. So he'll be hosting us and teaching us and telling stories about that experience. We'll walk to George Floyd Square on Saturday. Pastor Kelly Chapman, who's preached here at Awaken, will be hosting us and teaching us there. And then on Sunday, we'll walk to St. Peter's Catholic Church, overlooking the Minnesota and Mississippi confluence. And Jim Bear Jacobs will host that. So $25. It's going to be really, really amazing. I invite you to join us. The confirmation students will be doing that walk as part of their confirmation experience. So that's going to be cool. And we invite you to join them in that. Sound good? Okay. I would be remiss if I didn't begin with a huge thank you to one Jenna Daniels last week. Yes. If you weren't here, I don't often say go back and listen to a podcast because it's usually self-promotion and that feels a little weird. But this one you should totally go back and listen to if you haven't heard it. A really, really important message from, just deeply formed experience from Jenna. And I'm grateful for you and your voice here. So listen to that. You might be wondering, what have you been up to since Easter, Micah? Well, Eric, if you could just show that little screen. Yes! The migratory rainbow trout of Lake Superior are making their way into the tributaries of the lake, you friends, and they can be found. So that's one. I got a couple of real nice fish on Friday. So that's what I do when I don't want to be with you all. That's a tough sell, actually. I think I might choose steelhead. But and you guys, it's the final round of the Masters today. Are you kidding me? It is a great day for humans. So moving on to things you might care more about. Today, we begin a new series, and that series is entitled Corner. We're going to take 5 weeks, over the next 5 weeks, and explore this theme and this topic, this idea of generosity. And I'm quite excited about this because we're going to get to sort of build this thing from the ground up. It's my contention that generosity is one of the most important aspects, disciplines, practices of the spiritual life. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, I still think that's true. And so we're going to sort of build this thing over the next 5 weeks. A couple of weeks ago in our Lenten series, when we were listening, I gave an update on some things we felt we were hearing as a leadership team, and that was specifically about money. This series is bigger than that. It will include that, but it will include more than that. And I want to sort of give you an update since then. A lot has happened since that Sunday. And some of you know that at Awaken, in a month, our expenses usually are somewhere around $55,000 to $60,000 in a month. And so for us to kind of meet our budget, that's sort of where we need to be level as a nonprofit. In March, I will let you know that $97,000 of response came to Awaken in that 1 month, which is like unbelievable. Unbelievable. And that's all, that's us, right? Those were a couple of one-time gifts, but a lot of like brand new, like sustaining members, as NPR would say. Thank you for your sustaining partnership in the work of NPR. But in all seriousness, like people who signed up for the first time to give ongoing gifts, some of you who looked at what you were doing and said, I think we could do more. And so like from the bottom of my heart as a pastor and on behalf of our leadership team, like huge thank you for stepping into that and kind of where we're going. So if you remember, we were projecting like a $60,000 to $70,000 loss on the year, and that $97,000 eats into that by about half. So, you know, if we just sort of meet budget, we'll have a smaller deficit, but if we keep going, right, we'll keep chipping into that, and I'm praying for a flat, you know, an even budget. So like at the end of the year, our expenses meet our income, and I think it's doable. So I just want to let you know about that and say thank you. It's quite easy in a lot of ways to be a pastor in this community, and not a lot of my colleagues get that gift, and I recognize it as a gift. So thank you, thank you, thank you. This series, let me sort of give you the framework, the map, and then we'll dive in. Today, I want to sort of fly high, like 30,000 feet, and I want to work out like a theology of generosity from the scriptures. I want to build it from the ground up, all right? And next week, we're going to stay a little bit more ideological, and I want to look at like from the wisdom of Ecclesiastes, our posture and how we hold things in as it relates to our lives. In week three, we're going to look at Jesus in the Gospel of Luke and what happens when we own and possess things. Jesus talks about this in a very fascinating passage. So we'll talk about that in week three. Week four, we'll be in 2 Corinthians, which we've been in. And really, that's just like, what do we ask of you? What's the invitation to you as a church? If you're going to be involved in our life financially, like, what are some practices or some postures that we would encourage? And then week five, wrapping it up, will be in Mark's gospel, really about, like, compassion and the generosity of our care. You know, a couple of guys bring their friend to Jesus, so we'll look at that story. So that's where we're headed. Deuteronomy chapter 24 is where we will begin. So Laura will be reading our scripture. I'd invite you to stand in body or in spirit for the reading of the word, and then we will dive right in.
Do not take advantage of a hired worker who is poor and needy, whether that worker is a fellow Israelite or a foreigner residing in one of your towns. Pay them their wages each day before sunset, because they are poor and are counting on it. Otherwise, they may cry to the Lord against you, and you will be guilty of sin. Parents are not to be put to death for their children, nor children put to death for their parents. Each will die for their own sin. Do not deprive the foreigner or the fatherless of justice, or take the cloak of the widow as a pledge. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. That is why I command you to do this. When you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. That is why I command you to do this.
Pray with me. God, this morning, as we turn our attention to your scriptures, which were given to a group of people called Israel, I'm mindful of the conflict that wages on in that part of the world and our hearts. To the degree that we can want to be in solidarity with brothers and sisters who are there. So I pray for healing, I pray for peace, that Prince of Peace would not be just at Christmas, or Emmanuel would not just be at Christmas, but that today, in this moment. So for our world, for our lives and our communities, all that we bring into this room with varying degrees, God, we look to you to speak into our lives of what does it mean to be human, what does it mean to follow this Jesus, and what does it mean to live lives that are worthy of what you intended when you created. So we pray to that end, and by the power of your Spirit, in the name of Jesus, and the church said together, amen, amen, you may be seated. And I pray for the little guy in the nursery, whoever it is. He's having a rough go in there. Okay, friends, today I've been telling myself as I prepped, like, Micah, slow down on this one. So to the degree that I can, I'm going to pace myself. I'm going to run a marathon today, because this conversation is like ground level. This is sort of the deep end of the pool, and it's work that I think needs to be done in order for us to go where I want to take us. So let's begin. Let's build this thing from the ground up. Number one, I would suggest that generosity is about the nature of God and the universe itself. What do I mean by that? When we talk about generosity as an idea, as a practice, as an attitude, or a character quality, right? That's a generous person. By virtue of just being in that conversation, what we're talking about is the nature, the ontology of God, the ontological nature of God, and by virtue of that, what God has made. Slow it down. What is ontology? Ontology is the study of being. So what I'm saying is that as we enter a conversation about generosity, we're actually having a conversation about the essence, the very nature of the being called God. And if that's true, then we're also having a conversation about the fabric of the universe, because God has created. So, generosity is not just, did you go serve at the soup kitchen? It's not just, did you give a tithe to your church? It's not just, did you rake your neighbor's lawn? We're talking about, what is God like when we're in a conversation about generosity? We're talking about, what is the nature or the fundamental, like, building blocks of the universe, of the existence of life? Okay? I can't overstate it. I think, because of that, it's one of the most important aspects of our spiritual life. Let's work this out. Genesis chapter 1. You've probably heard this story read before. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep. The Spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The scriptures begin with a claim about that before there was anything, there was God. Theologians talk about creation ex nihilo, that God creates from nothing. Now, I don't think that the writer of Genesis has any particular interest in matter or metaphysics or whether or not there was an atom or if there was energy or if it was a big bang or 1,000 years or 1,000,000 years or 3,000 years. I don't think the writer cares. The point I want to make is that before there was anything, there was God, and from that comes forth creation. Light and darkness, water above and below, dry ground, plants, seasons, sun, moon, stars, eclipses, animals, and then on day six, humans, us, right? So from God, from abundance, not from scarcity, not from anger or, you know, conflict, from abundance, from generosity, comes forth creation. Because of the generosity of God, we exist. Because of the blessing of God, the world exists. The robins are singing in their trees. The leaves are coming. They're popping. They're, right? The flowers are... Because of, from the generosity, like a fountain flowing, that fountain is generosity, and from that comes creation. Now, saying that might not seem all that earth-shattering, but like that story, the creation story in the Hebrew Scriptures, compared to the other creation stories of its day, is like mind-blowingly different. I won't bore you with all the details, but if you were to look up Enuma Elish, which is, I think it's Sumerian, the Atrahasis, which is, or no, that's Sumerian, the other one's Mesopotamian. These are like other ancient Near Eastern creation stories. And to sum it up, creation is usually the sort of outward, the working out of like conflict among the gods. In one, two gods are warring, one kills the other, splits that god in half, and from that conflict and bloody warfare comes the creation of the earth, right? Or in another one, the humans are created as a means to an end. The gods don't want to concern themselves with menial tasks, and so they create humans. You can see how different that is as compared to the Genesis story. So what's being said in the story of Genesis at the beginning is like fundamentally different. And I would argue that it is saying that before there was anything, there was God. And from that, creation comes forth. And all that we experience as good, right, and true is from the very nature and being of God. Everybody tracking? So, which is why I begin this series and this sermon by saying generosity is one of the more important aspects of the spiritual life, because ultimately it's rooted in the very nature of God. So, let's keep this going. I begin with an assumption about human life, and that assumption is that human life is not, it's not accidental, or said differently, there is a purpose for your life. You were created for something. That something is like a target. It's like a bullseye. And you can either be moving towards that or aiming your life at that purpose, that telos, or not. Right? If God is generous in nature and there is a purpose to human life, well, what is it? We get another key to the puzzle in Genesis 1:26 when we read, "Then God said, let us make humans in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created them. In God's image, in the image of God, they created them, male and female, they created them. What has just been said? If God in God's essence is generosity, is abundance, is benevolence, and according to this, you and I, humans, are created in the image of God. Let's play a little logic game. If then, if God is generous, and if God has made humans in God's image, then you, by virtue of being made in God's image, are fundamentally, in essence, to be generous. Said differently, to not live from a place of generosity, to not cultivate this attitude in us, is to be less than human. This is why it's so important to the spiritual life. If you want to be fully human, as God intends for you to be fully human, I would argue that one must learn to cultivate a practice of, a discipline of, an attitude of generosity. That it is the fundamental, like, building blocks, one of the fundamental building blocks of the human life. I'm saying a lot by saying that. Our purpose then, if we're made in God's image, is to reflect God's image into the world, right? And in Scripture, in the story, that's called shalom. So when humans live as God intended us to live, then there is flourishing and wholeness for all of God's creation, right? And insofar as we're participating in that and saying yes to that, cultivating that in ourselves and in our world, then this kingdom, this realm, this idea of shalom is happening and real. This is like, that's the story of the Bible in a nutshell. So shalom, there it is, God's hopes, dreams, intention, purpose for creation. When it's realized, that's shalom, that's peace. That's what we're aiming for. And all of this, right, it comes from God, and when everything that God makes and calls good flourishes, and when we do that, right, that comes from this fount of generosity that is God. Now, participation time, if you would. At Awaken, we do an all play every now and again. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. So, if you would trust me for just a moment, I want to invite you to close your eyes, and if you can, I would like you to recall a moment in your life where you experienced generosity from another human. See if you can recall. Doesn't have to be the most recent, but just a time in your life when you experienced generosity from another human being. If you have that moment in your mind, now go a click deeper. What did you experience in that moment? What did you feel? What words would you use to describe it? Now, I would love to hear what's in the room. When you experienced generosity from another human being, what did you experience? What did you feel?
Seen.
You felt seen.
Comfort.
Relieved. One at a time, everybody. Over here.
Relieved.
Whoever said it back there?
Joy.
Thank you, Brother Rich. Say it again.
Gratitude.
Welcome. Valued. Say it again. Protected.
Connection.
Loved.
Cared for.
Thought of. Oh, it did something in you, a desire to do it, participate in it.
Uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah, good.
Humbled,
yes. Say it again. Unworthy. Yeah.
Embarrassed.
Confidence. Okay, why? I would suggest that, like, this is a human phenomenon. That, like, when you as a human experience the generosity of another, like, something happens in you. You can feel it inside of you. Why is this a common experience for humans? I would submit to you, it's what we were made for. If there's a tuning fork in your soul, when you experience generosity, somebody hits that tuning fork, and it resonates. Like, you know that you know that you know. Something about that is right. It's true. How else would you describe that other than that's what you were made for? Now, we've put some scaffolding up. God in God's essence is generous. Before there was anything, there was God. Out from that, creation comes forth. You and I, made in God's image. Therefore, we are fundamentally to be generous if we're to be purposeful. What does this have to do with leaving a corner of your field for the alien, the orphan, and the widow? You might be wondering, is he going to preach the passage? Now that I have you right where I want you. Why does God tell these people? So backstory, this is Israel. They were enslaved in Egypt. They were oppressed by a foreign occupying power. God says to them, I will redeem you. I will restore you. I will bring you out of that place and bring you into a land and give you a place to live. The means by which is a little shady at times, but that's lost in translation, so we're going to skirt by that. Either way, I will give you a land, and in that land, here's how you are to act. Here are some things that I would encourage you to do and not to do. That's Deuteronomy 24. We've just inserted ourselves into that conversation. And in that passage, you could go back and read all kinds of things that these people, the people of God, Israel, is to do and not do. One of them is when you have an olive grove, you beat the olives and they fall to the ground and you gather them up. Don't go back and beat the trees again to get all that was left. When you harvest your field and there's a little grain left over in the corner, leave the corner for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. The immigrant, the orphan, and the widow. Why would God tell these people, these Israelites, these like beacons of God's presence and image in the world, why would God tell them to do that? I can imagine if their response is anything like mine when I was 10 and my brother stole my Lucky Charms. I had words about this, right? Like, I can imagine these people saying something like, I put my blood, sweat, and tears into that field. When I got to that field, there was nothing but rocks and thistles and thorns, and I literally, by my own hands, got those rocks out of that field with blood on them, tore those thistles out, and then I tilled that field, and I made it ready for the seeds that would be planted, not by some yahoo, by me. I planted those seeds. I put those olive trees in that field. And then I cared for them. I nurtured them. I pruned them. I made sure that they had everything that they needed, water and sun. And then when the time was right, I harvested those fields. And so you better be sure that I'm going to harvest it all the way to the edge, because that's my work. And those are my olives. And that's my field. Those are my Lucky Charms. And God says, no, don't. Don't extract the resource for everything that it has produced. Don't leave the well dry. Don't go all the way to the edge. In fact, leave some for the person who hasn't planted, who hasn't tilled, who hasn't worked, so that they might eat too. And I can imagine someone saying, that's not fair. Why should somebody who hasn't done any work get a free ride off of my labor and get to eat for free? You can see how sometimes capitalism and the kingdom of God are a little bit at odds, right? You know, in our world, that makes total sense. Meritocracy. If you work hard, you can get what you want, depending on your gender and the color of your skin in our country. If you put in the effort, then that thing is yours. We're going to talk about that later. What happens when we say that's mine? But why would God do that? Why would God tell them, leave a corner for the alien, the immigrant, the orphan, and the widow? Well, who are the immigrant, the orphan, and the widow? In the ancient world, they are the most vulnerable people. They are at the bottom of the rung on the ladder of life, right? In a patriarchal, tribal society, if you are a female in particular and you have lost your spouse, your partner, you are at the mercy of the system. If you are an orphan and you have no parents who have land that you would get by virtue of being there, you are at the mercy of the system. If you are an immigrant, a foreigner coming in, you are at the very bottom. So God says, to those who are vulnerable, leave some, leave a corner for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. Why would God do that? I think sometimes when we think about God, there is this idea that, like, God commands it, and so we have to obey it, because it's in the Bible, and I believe it, and so that's that, right? And like heaven and hell are at stake, so this is a pretty big deal. Did you know that the word that gets translated obey, right? Like God commands it, I have to obey it. The word in Hebrew that gets translated obey is the same word that is translated or that means listen or hear. Same word, shema. Shema, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. That word can be translated listen, hear, obey. So in some ways, to obey is to hear what God is saying. It's not just to be dutiful and follow the rules. Like, that's not the heart of this word. To all the firstborns in the room, sorry. Why would the humans need to be warned to leave some for the vulnerable among us? Why would the humans need to be warned not to extract the resource for every last drop of its production? Why would the humans need to be warned that they are ultimately not in control of their field? Maybe it's so that they don't forget where they've come from. Maybe it's so that they don't forget that they were once vulnerable and that they might be vulnerable again. Like, if the stock market falls, the bottom falls out, how many of you are in big trouble tomorrow? How many of you, if you lose your job, you're actually in serious trouble? Like, you're that close to being vulnerable again. But we can live in this system and forget very easily that that might be me, that was me, and that that might be again. So that they don't forget that generosity is the fountain of life. It's from which all things come. So that they don't forget that their flourishing is connected to their neighbor's flourishing. Let me say that one again. Your flourishing is connected to your neighbor's flourishing in the kingdom economics. So, sorry, but work harder doesn't work in this story. So that they don't become monsters and hoard when other people have need, so that they don't become monsters and deprive those who might have need. Why does God tell them this? Because God has an intention and a purpose for human life, and it flows from generosity, and when we work against the grain of that, we are undoing ourselves. When we work in that flow, we are becoming more and more human. You're not monsters. So don't act like one. Where someone who has desperate need stands in front of you and you say, sorry, work harder. That's what a monster would say. That's not you. That's not what you're from. Now, we can have all kinds of conversation about, like, you got to show up to your own life. Okay, fine. But do you see what I'm saying here? It is very easy for us to forget and to assume that this system that we live in, this kingdom, these rules are the rules by which we all have to play. And the Bible comes along and says, actually, there's another story being told here. There's another kingdom being told here. And you're invited to bow a knee, to pledge allegiance to it, not a flag or a country or an empire or a government, but to this way of Jesus, which is rooted in who God is, which is generous. So my friends, leave a corner for the alien, the orphan, the widow. I wonder if that is not a warning and not a command. Is it possible? Leave a corner for the alien, the orphan, and the widow is a warning so that you don't become less than human. So that you remember who God is and what you're called to. Is it possible to see this as grace? Lest we fall into the temptation or the belief that something else is going on here. I wonder if it isn't a warning. So this morning, as we begin 30,000 feet, I'll close with this invitation to you. Generosity is not just about your money. It includes that, but it includes your intellect. It includes your houses. It includes your vehicles. It includes your property, the land that you have a deed for. It includes your time. It includes your creativity. It includes, right? Keep going. Your life. Everything that you have, everything that is yours to steward is included in this bucket. And I'm wondering for you today if there's an invitation that you sense from the Spirit to move towards or to take one part of your life and submit it to the lens of, the grid of, the filter of generosity. Push it through that lens and see what comes out on the other side. Just one thing. You get to choose. Taster's choice. Right? Dungeons and Dragons. What's that called when you get to choose and choose your own adventure? Thank you. Way better than Dungeons and Dragons. Choose your own adventure, church. One thing in your life. Submit it to Because that's what like saying yes to discipleship and following Jesus is, right? It's like, it's to saying, actually, I need help. So submit it to the lens of the filter of generosity. Push that thing through that lens and see what comes out on the other side. I'd be curious to hear what happens. So let me offer a little bit of space, a moment of silence. Invite you to listen to what the Spirit might be saying to you today. And then we'll make our way to this table, which is generosity on display every week. Pray with me. God, as we gather this morning, I pray for my friends in this room. I pray for myself, selfishly, that you would, by your Spirit, be moving in and among your people. That you would remind us that we are not monsters. We are humans, created for and from abundance and generosity and benevolence, not scarcity. That you would remind us that to be human is to be generous, kind, giving. And that something, maybe one thing in our lives, you would draw our attention to, that we might push through the filter of generosity and see what comes out on the other side. Holy Spirit, do your work. Friends, it's so good to be with you. A reminder as you go, Awaken is like intentionally centered around this well that we believe is the life and teachings, the death and resurrection of Jesus. And that well brings life. It's living water. And so insofar as we draw from it, drink from it, make it a part of what we pursue and are about, that's good news for us and for the world. So this generosity, this isn't about Awaken. This is about good news for the world. Amen? So go. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up their face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up their countenance to you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the church said together, amen. Amen. Grace and peace. See you later.
Find us online at www.awakencommunity.com
or on Facebook at www.facebook.com/awakencommunity
or on Twitter at awakencommunity.
See you next time.